question we always ask people is like, if I made you the commissioner for one day, what was the first thing that you would do? Can we ask that?
We can ask that, and the right answer will be I'll contact Mike Fracina.
Well, here he is, the commish of the Symmetric Tour, Mr. Mike Nichols. Mike, what's going on this morning?
Not much. How are you guys?
We're doing great. We're doing great. Did you hear that? If you could change one thing, what would it be? But you're the commish. You can change
it. You'll have to ask Mike Fracina.
He was listening.
I've been instructed by my attorneys to say is the correct answer.
It's a safe answer. It's a safe answer. So, Mike, how you been? I mean, this is a big week. The tour's getting cranked up. You made the big announcement about this year's 2015 tournament schedule, which is amazing. When I started working with you guys, I think we had fewer than 15 events, and now this year it's up to 23 and continuing to grow. And your partner at the next level, Mike Wan, seems incredibly committed to the Symmetra Tour. How you feeling heading into this season?
We're excited. Obviously, as you mentioned, we've had some recent successes. As you said, 2 years ago, we only had 15 tournaments. Last year, we had 20, and this year, we have 23. And we'll be playing the most tournaments that we've played in the last 27 years for the Symmetra Tour, so since 1988. So, you know, highest purses in tour history, highest average purse, all of that good stuff. So it's an exciting time, as you mentioned, not only for the Symmetra Tour, but the LPGA Tour. So both ourselves and our big sister, the LPGA, are enjoying some great success right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone understands that the Symmetra Tour now, it has a better understanding of how it came out of Duramed and all that, the Futures Tour and where it is, and it's sort of the companion to the Web.com Tour. But as you look at explaining to people what the Symmetra Tour is, what are your touch points? I was really interested to hear what Mike Wan had to say down in Florida a couple weeks ago. What are your touch points when somebody says, yeah, but what is the Symmetra Tour?
Yeah, so for us, what we say is, you know, it's the official qualifying tour of the LPGA, which basically means at the end of our season, the top 10 players on our tour ultimately make it to the LPGA Tour. And additionally, usually through the Q School process, another five or so who come through Q School will have played on the Symmetra Tour the previous season. So each year, there's 30 new players that come on to the LPGA Tour, either through the Symmetra Tour or through the Q School process, of which half of them would have been on the Symmetra Tour the preceding season. So when we go out and talk to new markets and they, you know, are explaining, as you mentioned, we always use the analogy, the web.com tour, because they're a little bit better known than we are. But what, you know, to say, when we come to Charlotte this spring, you know, 15, in all likelihood, about 15 of the girls who are in the tournament that week will be on the LPGA Tour the next year. So it's really an exciting opportunity for people to come out and sort of meet people like former number one Lorena Ochoa, former number one MB Park, who's now number two in the world. But people like that who have come through the Symmetra Tour, have learned sort of what it takes to be successful in professional golf on the Symmetra Tour, and then one day become stars on the LPGA. Your winner last year, Mallory Blackwell, she's now on the LPGA Tour.
Yeah, and the LPGA, you know, is really committed to the Symmetra Tour and having it be the gateway to the big tour, because, you know, it probably vacillates anywhere between 40% and 60% of the players on the LPGA Tour have played some level of Symmetra Tour, and Mike Wan wants to see that number exceed 80% because he likes the training ground. What does he see that is happening on the Symmetra Tour that he likes so much?
Well, as he will fully admit, he said his number one sort of fear, the thing that gives him cold sweats and wakes him up in the middle of the night, is the idea that someone would end up in one of the LPGA tournaments, whether it's playing with one of our sponsors in the Pro-Am or just being available at one of the Pro-Am parties, mixing and mingling with the sponsors, who really doesn't sort of understand where the money comes from that makes the event go. I was sort of listening in on your caddy bib conversation earlier. And so what we really do on the Symmetra Tour is not only do we allow them the opportunity to sort of work on their game and figure out what it takes to be successful inside the ropes, which is obviously, you know, playing good golf, but how do I practice, schedule my practice sessions? When do I work out? How do I balance my books? How do I handle my travel, my finances? There's sort of all that stuff that they have to figure out as it relates to playing good golf. But we have the opportunity to, you know, as I mentioned, put them into pro-am situations, have them come to the parties, doing media interviews and those sorts of obligations, going out in the community and doing charitable visits. So all of the things that they will do on the LPGA Tour that helps elevate the LPGA Tour and keep it successful are the things that we do with them right now. Obviously, selfishly for us, things we need them to do to make the Symetra Tour successful. But for them also, it's sort of a professional development opportunity for them to be ready for all of those things that encompass being a successful LPGA player.
Now, despite the success that everybody's having, are there still those sleepless nights? Because there's always the potential of, like what happened down in Mobile with the LPGA event down there, that a sponsor basically says, I can't do it, I can't sign up again for next year. And there's always that possibility. I mean, how do you deal with something like that that has the potential of happening at any moment in time?
Sure. Well, you know, the Mobile event, when we announced it, was always sort of a tentative, and we knew that what happened in that particular instance is Airbus has come into the Mobile community and has been and is in the process of opening a production plant where they're going to start making planes, and sort of that process has taken a little bit longer than they wanted to get up to speed. So we fully expect them to be back in 2016. But like you said, you know, I think the biggest thing in terms of the whole sponsor experience is that's scary is things that, you know, a global recession, a national recession, things like 9/11. I mean, I was a tournament director back when 9/11 happened, and I remember thinking to myself, you know, when is it appropriate again to start calling sponsors about sponsoring my golf tournament without looking callous as to what happened? You know, so those are the sort of things that, at the end of the day, are beyond your control, but are sort of the things that you hope don't happen, because as successful as the product may be and as much as people might want to get involved, there may be extenuating circumstances in sort of the larger business community economy that may preclude them from sponsoring the event.
Yeah, I'm wondering if you lose more sleep over sponsor retention or the thought of having me at the wheel of anything.
I got over that one a couple of years ago, Mike. I had some sleepless nights when Mike was like, you know what, we want to launch this concept called Rock the Putt, where we're going to have people on the putting green playing, and there's going to be a live band playing
and free beer.
It's been one of the most successful programs on our entire tour, and it's one of those things that makes golf fun. It's funny, I had a conversation with somebody just this last week when we were announcing a new tournament in Milwaukee, and he said, you know, as we go to launch this tournament, he said, you know, that sort of the two ends of the spectrum are, you know, you've got the Masters over here and you have the Happy Gilmore golf tournament over here. He said, where do you fall in the spectrum? I said, well, in Charlotte, we're more on the Happy Gilmore side with our Rock the Putt experience.
It's okay, Mike. I have sleepless nights every Friday night before Saturday morning.
I understand.
You never know what you're going to get. It's definitely a box of chocolates there, Forrest Gump, right?
Yeah.
So as you look forward to this year and kicking the season off, you know, the ladies, we get to talk to a lot of them, and they're always excited to go out and play in all these events. You know, do you have to be careful as you look year to year setting up the schedule so that you don't overwhelm maybe some of these girls as they want to get out there and play as full a schedule as possible? Is that always a concern when you set up a series of events, or you know, you get the Carolinas events where they're kind of doing one after the other?
Yeah, so we've actually said no to some events that just sort of fall outside of the, you know, the geographic schedule. Because if you look at our schedule, as you mentioned, you know, we come and we play in the Carolinas for 3 weeks, and that's just after we've played 2 weeks consecutively in Florida, and then we go up in the Midwest, and we play like five times in the Midwest. Excuse me, with events that are no more than 3 hours apart. So that's really essential to us that we build a schedule that works, because the majority of them, in order to be able to afford to play, you know, sort of carpool and go from event to event that way. But at the same time, as we go to 23 events, what's interesting is we're going to get to the point where players are going to have to start taking a week off and sort of learn about that process. So, you know, the LPGA has a 32-event schedule. Nobody plays all 32 events, and they've got to figure out how many times in a row can I play before my body and mind tell me I can't do it. So as we get to the point where we now have 23 events, a couple years ago, as I mentioned, we had 15 events, you basically had to play every event because skipping an event might cost you the opportunity to be in the top 10. But now it's into the point where with 23 events, you might have some players only playing 20, and because they want to focus on playing well 20 weeks as opposed to playing average for 18, or playing average for 18 of them, because they're tired when they're playing 23. So that too is a part of the process of you know, finding success on the LPGA Tour, is figuring out how do you schedule your, you know, season.
Well, we're talking to Mike Nichols, the big boss at the Symetra Tour. And Mike, as I looked at this year's schedule, one thing that hopped out to me right away is Rochester has been a hot spot for the LPGA for a really long time, one of the most successful events year in and year out. And, you know, Wegmans, whatever happened, the Rochester event on the big tour went away. And I was really interested to see Symetra swoop in and put an event in Rochester that's going to replace that date. That's going to be a different course, going to have a different vibe and all that kind of stuff. Is that a way of staying in market? Is that a way of, you know, I mean, is that a transition up or a transition away for the LPGA? What was the thinking into putting that tournament there?
Yeah, so, you know, for us, selfishly, as the Symetra Tour, obviously, as you mentioned, Rochester has been a great supporter of the LPGA for a number of years. But the company, Wegmans, who had sponsored that event, you know, they're a regional grocery store chain, and the cost of hosting a major event made sort of less and less sense for, you know, that you say, hey, look at all the national and global exposure that we get from this event. And they're thinking, well, that's great. Well, we're a regional grocery store chain in six states or whatever it is. So, for us, selfishly, as the Symetra Tour, it was, you know, here's a market that has really embraced the LPGA for a long time, and I think we'll embrace the Symetra Tour as well. So it's going to be, we're going to have $150,000 purse there, which is one of the bigger ones on our tour, and Nancy Lopez, who is sort of like the first lady of Rochester because she won her fifth of five events in a row, excuse me, in Rochester as a rookie, and so she's been the first lady there. She's going to serve as an honorary chairwoman for that event. So for us, selfishly, it was a great opportunity to go into a market that's very passionate about golf, passionate about the LPGA, and maybe in time, get the larger community involved in the event, and maybe in time grow it back to an LPGA tournament. It was just a case where you had a sort of a single sponsor carrying all the water, and if we can broaden the sponsor support by having a Symetra Tour event and grow it back up to the LPGA, we'd love to do that because it's a great market.
Well, Mike, I know there have been discussions. When can North Carolina see an LPGA event return to the market? I know we've had it at the Peninsula. There have been a number that have happened throughout the years. But when can North Carolina see the big tour back in the state?
It's as with everything, it's a matter of identifying title sponsors. So, we've had in the 9 years I've been involved with the LPGA, we've had a number of sort of flirtations with bringing the LPGA to North Carolina. So I would like to say sooner rather than later, but, it's all about sort of identifying that one title sponsor who carries the majority of the financial weight for the event.
I think what he just said, Mike, is go find a sponsor and you can do it.
I was reading between the lines on that, too, and making notes.
You know, is it still strange to you as the commissioner of the Symetra Tour that you're really pulling to never see your yes. ladies come back and play in your tournaments again?
That is a great irony. It's funny because as Mike knows, so the 10 ladies that we graduated this past year were some of the ones who have been stalwart on our tour, the ones that were for long times our go-tos in terms of radio interviews and the ones that I would invite to sponsor dinners as we were trying to prospect for new business and things like that. So it's ironic because you get to know them so well and you sort of think of them as your other daughters and you want them to have success. And then when they leave, you kind of have the empty nest syndrome of like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do without them? So, my own children are 7 and 9 and I sort of each year at the Symetra Tour Championship, I sort of have that empty nester syndrome, like I can't believe they're leaving us, and you see them on the LPGA Tour leaderboard. So yeah. It's definitely a sort of a mixed emotions when it happens, but at the end of the day, they've given so much to the Symetra Tour, it's great to see them have success.
Well, good stuff. Yeah, that's the catch 22, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It was the hardest thing I had to get used to. It was, at the end of Saturday or Sunday's round, being like, hey, hope to never see you again. I mean, that was all. I hate that.
But the thing that's great about the Symetra Tour is it's for us, and even as the staff, it's sort of identifying, who that next generation of stars is. And somebody asked me the other day, who do we look out for this year? And it's so unpredictable because, again, so many of the players we graduated this year were ones that we were familiar with and you probably would have banked on. So now we're going to sort of look to that next generation to a certain degree or maybe less familiar to folks like Mike and myself. And they'll show themselves. But that's what always is exciting sort of unwrapping the present at the beginning of the season.
Well, Mike, we appreciate you coming on with us this morning, and look forward to a great season on the Symetra Tour in 2015.
Excellent. Thanks, guys, for having me on.
All right. Thanks a lot. That's Mike Nichols, Symetra Tour Commissioner, and I guess quasi your boss.
Sort of my boss, and it's nice to hear that he has sleepless nights thinking about my leadership.
Don't we all?